The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" And he answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' And he will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'O Lord, we ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself cast out. And people will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some who are first will be last." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Our gospel this morning makes it very clear that proximity is not enough. To gain entrance into the kingdom of God, it is not enough to have eaten and drunk with Jesus, nor simply to hear his teaching. It's not enough simply to be close to Jesus, or close to holy things, or holy people, or the right people, or the right places. Jesus' audience, given the role of those knocking at the door in the parable, think they deserve entry simply because they are nearby. To their great surprise and consternation, the master thinks otherwise. The master of that house tells them not once but twice, "I do not know where you are from." They're stunned, and they try to remind him how close they have been. "We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets." Surely the master must recognize them, they think. But still, they are refused entrance, and they weep and wail and grind their teeth at their exclusion, while seeing the patriarchs, the prophets, and people from all over the world entering into the heavenly banquet, while they are stuck outside in their misery. Twice in the Gospel of John, Jesus said that he came from God and was returning to God. All people, all of us, are meant to be on that same journey. And God was meant to be our constant friendly companion all along the way, the divine presence as easy and as natural as a walk in the garden in the evening. It's a lovely image that the book of Genesis presents for what God intended for our lives at the the beginning. But Satan tempted the first couple, saying they would become like God by eating what God had forbidden them. Rather than remaining in their complete trust in God's love for them, our first parents chose to disobey, and thus sin entered the world. Sin's effects are seen immediately in the lives of Adam and Eve, and it only spirals out from there. Sin turns our attention inward and makes the creature think that it does not need God, and that, like God, it has all that it needs within itself to be happy. God did not need to create or need anyone outside himself to be happy. The Most Holy Trinity was and is perfect and happy within itself. But we, unlike the Trinity, are limited, finite creatures. We do not have all that we need within ourselves, even to survive for very long, much less to be happy for eternity. So the promise that the serpent made can never be true. It can never be fulfilled. This is why the devil is called the Prince of Lies. Rather than make us complete within ourselves, like the Trinity, sin, pride, and disobedience separate us from ourselves, from God, and from one another, and ultimately makes us miserable. And sin also derailed that very natural journey, even very pleasant journey, of being from God and returning to God that our first parents were originally on. Indeed, the only person to have experienced it as it was originally intended was our Blessed Mother, whose completion of her journey we just celebrated about 10 days ago in the Assumption. But because of sin, and especially pride, we get stuck in ourselves. We stop moving. We listen for that call to home in ourselves, rather than listening for God's voice throughout all creation, where the divine fingerprints are everywhere. That's why in Dante's Inferno, Satan is frozen in the center of hell. Instead of going from God and back to God, the lie of sin gives us the illusion that we are the masters of our lives, that we, and not God, are the ultimate reference point. Like the mythical Narcissus, we become completely enthralled with ourselves. We become from ourselves and not from God. So quite literally, we are lost. God's first question to our first parents after the fall speaks directly to this reality. God asks them, "Where are you?" Now, God is not asking a geographical question. He's not asking under what bush they're hiding or what tree they're behind. Rather, God is asking a spiritual question, because after their disobedience, they are no longer from Him. And each of us, like them, know deep down at our core the rupture that both that original sin as well as our own personal sin causes in our lives. And we too, like Adam and Eve, because of our sin itself and because of our shame because of our sin, we too hide from God. We put attention only on ourselves. But fortunately for us, like our first parents, God keeps calling, keeps seeking us out, and never stops desiring to bring us home. In a sense, all of salvation history is nothing but a game of hide and seek, but on a cosmic level. We keep hiding, and just as many times, God keeps seeking us out, keeps searching, keeps asking, "Where are you?" He calls out. God wants us to be home. God wants us with Him. That great throng in the parable, described as people from the east and the west, the north and the south, have heard that summons and are making their way back home, back to the kingdom of God. And the tragedy is, of course, is that God has also called those who were nearby. But unlike those who were far off, those who were near refused to hear God's invitation, ignored it, and became stuck. Stuck in themselves, right where they were. When we listen to God's voice and His call to come home, we, as the author to the letter of the Hebrews says, are able to strengthen our drooping hands and our weak knees. We become unfrozen and are able to move as we were meant to. We can make straight paths for our feet, that what is lame and wounded within us might be healed and not disjointed. As we listen and begin to follow that voice, that divine voice, on our homeward journey to the one who is our origin and our destination, we become stronger and stronger, more fully ourselves, more fully the people that we were created to be. We become in closer and more intimate communion with the one who calls us and with one another, with our companions on our journey home.